Red loves bones. How many got a dog? Old Red loves bones. And I want you to know that little old dog, that miniature Doberman, she'll get a bone, dig a hole out there in the yard, and bury that bone. And then I'll see her out there a day or two afterwards. She'll be digging out that bone. Finding that bone. And you know what? The Lord ministered my heart as I was watching Red hide them bones, dig them up the next day or the next day. And I said, you know, Lord, that dog is hiding them bones for a better day, digging up them bones for another day. And, you know, Red is looking forward to a better day, digging up them bones, burying them and then digging them up again. I believe the Lord has for us, his people, better days are coming. I really believe that. Better days are coming. And that's been on my heart all week long, and it's been on my heart for several weeks. I believe better days are coming. I really do. I believe better days are coming. Some of you are down, some of you are discouraged, distraught, and you just are having a difficult time being in the blues, the November blues. But I want you to know there's some better days coming. I believe that with all my heart. And speaking of that, I heard about a lady that went to a pet shop. And she was walking by the pet shop, and the pet shop had a talking parrot. And the talking parrot saw this lady walk by, and the talking parrot said to the lady, "You sure are ugly." And the lady couldn't believe her ears. She said, "What did that parrot say?" He said, "You're real ugly." And the lady said, "How dare you, the nerve for you to call me ugly." And so the next day, the lady was walking by the pet shop, and the parrot, she looked at the parrot looked at her, and the parrot said the same thing, "You sure are ugly." She said, "I can't believe this parrot, the nerve of this parrot to call me ugly." And she said, "I'm going to give that parrot one more try, and then I'm going to have to talk with the boss man there in the pet shop." So she walked by the next day, and the parrot looked at her, and she looked at the parrot, and the parrot said, "You sure are ugly." And she said, "That does it. I've had enough about this. I'm going to go talk with the owner of this pet shop, and I'm going to let him know what you're doing out here, and I'm going to put a stop to this." And so she went and talked with the owner. And the owner said, "I'll take care of it." Said he won't say that anymore. And so the next day was the big test. The lady went walking by the pet shop, and the parrot was looking at her, and she stopped and looked at the parrot, and the parrot looked at her, and the parrot looked at her and said, "You know what? You know what? Well, I don't know about that, but I know this, there's some better days coming." I believe that. I heard about an elderly prayer, senior adults. We had the privilege of going every Thursday to the senior adults and ministering, sharing the Word of God. And I heard about a senior adult's prayer. It goes something like this: "Lord, grant me the senility," not the serenity, but "Lord, grant me the senility to forget those people I don't like. And God, bless me to run across those that I do like. And God, give me the eyesight to know the difference." Y'all will get it later. Hello. And some of you look like you've been weaned on a pickle, amen. Some of you look like you've lost your best friend. Some of you, it would do you good to smile every once in a while. The Bible says a merry heart do good like medicine. It would help you to have a little smile on your face, even though you may not feel like it. I'm telling you, better days are coming. Better days are coming. I believe that. And there are three reasons why you really ought to rejoice today. There are three reasons why we ought to say, "Praise God." I don't care what's going on here and what's going on there. I believe that better days are coming because we take our Bibles and turn to the book of Romans chapter 8 and stand to your feet. Romans chapter 8. Better days are coming. In the book of Romans chapter 8, it's consider to be one of the greatest, grandest, most glorious chapters in all the Bible, Romans chapter 8. I love the book of Romans. And here, I've never preached this message before, never preached on these particular verses before, but God has been speaking to my heart this week about better days are coming. Better days are coming. And here's why better days are coming. Because in verse 16 and verse 15 and verse 17, we'll see that Romans 8 begins with no condemnation, and that it ends with no separation, Romans 8. But in between is plenty of liberation. Now, Paul is writing an inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he says that, for example, there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And he's describing the Spirit-filled life. If we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if we through the Spirit do mortify, that is, put to death the deeds of the body, we shall live. And as many as are led by the Spirit of God, why, they are the sons of God. We come down to verse 15 of Romans chapter 8. And we're in verse 15. If you're there, say amen. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Let's say that together. Abba, Father. Say it again. Abba, Father. Look at verse 16. The Spirit, notice this capital S, the Spirit itself beareth witness or testifies with our spirit. Notice that's a small s. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And the word children there is techna, meaning, thank God, not infants, but God's blessed children. Thank God I'm a child of God. Verse 17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. This is the word of God. May God bless it as we read it and heed it to our hearts today. But I want you, for other emphasis, to read with me again. The main verses are verse 15, 16, and 17. But I want you to follow along, verses 18 following. We may have time to reference them in just a little while. But look at verse 18. Verse 18 reads this way, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope, because, notice, the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Verse 22, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. The picture is that of a woman having a baby. And literally Paul is saying this whole world is waiting for a new creation. And that's going to happen according to Revelation 21 and 2 Peter chapter 3. But look at verse 23. Not only is our world waiting for this new creation, but verse 23. And not only so they, but ourselves also. Paul said, thank God I'm a child of God. I don't have my glorified body yet, but I'm looking forward to it. Verse 23. And not only they, but also ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Parkey is the word first fruits, which means a down payment. And not only, go back to verse 23, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Let's pray. Father, thank you, better days are coming. Thank you, God, you are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. We praise you, you are on the throne. Your kingdom's an everlasting kingdom. Our God, I thank you that we can rest in you and have blessed assurance because Jesus is mine. Lord, we bless you for your peace that passes all understanding. Lord, I want to thank you today for your saving grace. Lord, I could be destined for a lake of fire. I could be mixed up and messed up on drugs. Lord, I could be anywhere at this moment, but Jesus, you saw fit in your mercy and in your grace to rescue my lost and hell-bound soul. I thank you, Lord, for every blood-washed child of God here today. I pray, God, that you'll ring the bells of heaven in our soul. You cause us to rise above these old winds of discouragement and circumstances in which we cannot control. We thank you, Jesus. Your word is forever set in heaven. We praise you that you have ordained for times such as this. Now, Lord, help us to be busy about your business. Father, give us that supernatural, extraordinary grace and strength from above to reach out to a lost and dying world. And Lord, to make a difference while there's time. Father, I don't know how much more time I've got. I may see you today. Today may be my last day here on earth. And none of us know our God. Only you know the beginning and the end and everything in between. I pray, Father, somehow, some way, your Spirit, Father, will minister to hearts. And God, our Father, you'll impart to us and you quicken to us and you stir us, Lord, to yield and surrender our all to you, and that you'll take the throne of our heart. We bless you now for every soul that's been snatched out of the fires of hell. We bless you, Lord, for every child of God, every Christian, Father, here today that's serving this, Lord, making a difference. And I pray now for the fresh wind and the fresh fire and the fresh anointing, our God, to fall on us. Break every stronghold of the devil. Those that are dabbling Lord, those, our God, that are Lord, off the straight and the narrow way. I ask you, God, to bring them back. I pray now in the name of Jesus, you'll, Father, draw them to your blessed feet and help them, Lord, to break free. God, give us grace to break free from idols and from every weight and all the sin that besets us, that weighs us down and keeps us from running the race. We love you now. Bless you for your love. Praise you for victory. We thank you for the choir. We thank you for every veteran that's here. And I pray for every mama and every daddy and every teenager here, God our Father, to lift up our eyes to the hills, because that's where our help comes from. Our help comes from you. And we love you now and give you glory for every person that's here, and trust you to have your will and way with us. And we thank you what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Better days are coming. You know how I know better days are coming? Look back again with me, verse 15 and 16 and 17. Open your Bibles and turn to verse 15, 16, and 17. And Paul wrote and said this, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption." Let that sink in your mind. Let that rest in your heart. You've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Hallelujah. 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 You know how I know that better days are coming? Here's how I know. There's three reasons found in verse 15, 16, and 17 that I know better days are coming. Here's what God showed me. Here's what the Lord spoke to my heart. Number one, we have a guaranteed relationship with God the Father. That's how I know better days are coming. I've got a guaranteed relationship with God the Father. Man, that's shouting ground right there. That's verse 15. And then verse 16. Not only do I have a guaranteed relationship with God the Father. But number two, if you'll notice in verse 16, I have a sweet fellowship with God the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. I've not only got a guaranteed relationship with my Heavenly Father, with God the Father, but I've got a sweet fellowship with God the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, better days are coming. And that's not all, because verse 17 declares, I not only have a guaranteed relationship with God the Father, and listen now, listen. If anything encourages you, it ought to be the Word of God today. I can't stand up here and entertain you and try to tell you things to encourage you, but if you get encouragement today, I'll tell you where it comes from. It's going to come from the Word of God. And if you get encouraged today, it's going to come through the Holy Spirit of God. But I've got news for you. If you came today and you're not expecting anything, you're not going to get anything. And if you came today and your mind's preoccupied about yesterday and tomorrow and about things going wrong in your life, you just might as well say, devil, get behind me. I'm not going to let you ruin my Sunday on November the 11th. I'm going to get everything God wants me to get. Because, praise God, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness. I'm telling you, some of you today need a break. Through some of us today need for God to encourage your heart. Some of us today need to rise above the world, the flesh, and the devil. Some of us today need to take a hold of what God's saying to you today. And I guarantee you, if you don't need it today, you're going to need it tomorrow. Will you get out your bucket? Hey, get out your barrel. And there's number three. I'm telling you, there's better days coming. How do I know that? Because number three, not only is there a guaranteed relationship with God the Father, let that sink in your mind. Let that sink in your spirit. Do you realize, wait a minute, I want you just to dwell on that thought for a moment. A relationship with your Heavenly Father, and not only that, but sweet fellowship with the Holy Ghost. It don't matter what you're going through. And then number three, there's better days coming, because we've got a glorious, hey, citizenship with God the Son. You see that in verse 17? We got a glorious citizenship with God the Son. Now, wait a minute. I'm going through some hard times, and I can't figure this stuff out, and people aren't treating me like the way I feel like I ought to be treated, and the country's going to hell. My son sent me a text message. I was looking for it just a minute ago. I felt impressed to share it with you, and I hadn't erased all of them, but anyway, here's what he said to me on Wednesday morning. I got in about probably 2 o'clock in the morning, driving in from the revival meeting, and here's what my son said. He sent me a text message early in the morning. Here's what he said. He said, Obama won! Exclamation marks. This country is a snowball rolling down a huge hill going straight to hell. That's what he said. Exclamation mark, exclamation mark, exclamation mark. Well, I said, hey, I can't deny some of the things that he wrote, but here's what the Lord impressed me to write back and say to him, and I want to say to you today. I asked the Lord if he wanted me to say it, and so I'll find it here in a minute. Here it is right here. I texted him back and said, Obama did win. True, true. Our country is headed for more judgment. But make no mistake about it. Our trust is not in Washington, but in the Word of God. Amen. Yes and yes and yes. It's not in the politicians, but in the Prince of Peace. Hey, listen. We are called to be soldiers of the cross. Matthew 10, 38-39. Jesus said, if any man wish to follow me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. And Luke chapter 14, Jesus said, you got to count the cost. If you're going to be my disciple, you got to understand there's a cost. You're going to be hated. You're going to be ostracized. You're going to be a pilgrim passing through this old world. You're not going to be liked by everybody. You're going to be strange. You're going to be a sojourner in the land. But Jesus said, if you don't deny yourself, he that loves his life more than mine, than or his husband or wife or children or mama or daddy or own life more than me cannot be my disciple. And so I want to remind you, brother, I want to remind you, sister, we're to take up a cross. Not only did the Lord have me to share that with him, but we are in a war. I said we are in a war, a battle. We are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world. When are we going to get that in our mind, in our head, that we're not running against flesh and blood? Brother and sister, we are called to be spiritual soldiers. We don't fight this battle with flesh and blood, but I'm telling you, God's still good and God's still on the throne and God's still got power. And when God's people cry out to him, God still works. I got up, it was about 4 o'clock in the morning on Tuesday morning before I even knew the outcome of the election. And here's what God's for. I was asleep and the Lord just spoke my heart. I started to preach on it today, but the Lord didn't want to, or I didn't feel led to. But anyway, in the book of Judges, the Bible says, when the people fell in sin, they cried up to God and God raised up a new leader. Hey, don't you believe God still hears his people cry? I said, don't you believe that it still does good to cry out to God? Hey, if we ever needed to cry out to God, it's now. I'm for all that 40 days before the election. Praying. I'm for that all, you know, prior preparation before the election. But friend, my brother, sister, we dare not stop praying now. It's not time to stop praying now. It's not time to start getting lukewarm now. It's not time to go AWOL on God now. If ever we need to take a stand, if ever we need to dig in and say, bless God, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to make a difference. I'm not going to let sin wreck my life. I'm not going to get AWOL on God. I want to make a difference while there's time. If ever there's a day, I'm telling you, brother and sister, it's right now that the people of God had better get right with God. Amen and amen and amen. Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. We're to fight the enemy by the blood of the Lamb. Take back the ground he's taken. Watch this. Here's what the Lord had me to share. Watch this. Maybe this election will wake up some folks. Wake up some folks. We need more men and women fighting in this battle. You know what? I was wondering if I look out here on this Sunday morning, the church house would be packed out. How many believe the church house ought to be packed out? Every Christian in this community ought to be in the church house today. I can't hear you. That tells me we're trusting the arm of flesh. We're not trusting God. We need God in these days. We got to have God in these days. And this is an indication our community is not there yet. That tells me and tells you that there's still work to be done. That tells me and tells you that we had better throw out the lifeline. That tells me and tells you that get up, soldier. I know you might be down, but don't stay down. There's too many souls that are slipping out in eternity. There's too many backslidden, AWOL Christians. And thank God, God's telling us, rise up, soldier. Rise up. Listen. Here's what the Lord had me to share with him. Most Americans are living for self. Self. Serving self. How can I get more things, things, things to make me happy? Come on, talk to me. Uh-oh, y'all are quiet on me. That's the average mindset of the average American. Even the Christian is things, things, things. No wonder our nation's going to hell. God's people, we're preoccupied about the... Uh-oh, I'm hitting a nerve there. We're so preoccupied about the things of the world. We're more concerned about this and that instead of really loving Jesus with all of our heart. And some of you know what I'm talking about. It's me standing in need of prayer. We sit up here and we sing and we go through the motions, but what are we doing Monday through Saturday? Hello? I can't hear you. Yeah, are we really? Are we reaching out? Are we witnessing? Are we getting unconfessed sin out? Are we staying in the Word? Are we walking in the light? Are we Spirit-filled? Are we... Hey, listen, I'm not talking about just for preachers. I'm talking about for all Christians. And the reason America's going to hell is because, God help us. Listen to this. Since America is going to hell, let's snatch as many as we can before they end up there. I can't hear you. If you really believe people are going to hell, they're going to hell. A 40-year-old lady died the other day. Does it concern you that a 28-year-old man was killed right out here in the road? Does it concern you that people are dying left and right? Oh, no, I got my little world. I got my little thing. I'm busy doing my little thing right now, and I got my little me, myself, and I, and my little family, and my little thing. And I know it's nothing wrong with having your family, but bless God, somewhere along the line, we've got to say, Lord, it's not about me. It's not about what I want to do. It's what you want to do. Let me tell you something. You and I are never going to be really happy until we start really obeying the Lord and serving God and making it. I don't care how much money you make. I don't care how big a house you're living in. I don't care what kind of car you drive in. I don't care what kind of clothes you're. Those things are going to only bring you temporary fulfillment and satisfaction. Deep down inside, there's a longing. God made us to love Him and serve Him and fulfill His will. And until we do that, we're going to stay miserable on the inside. We're going to stay miserable on the inside. But that's where the average Christian is, right there. There's no joy, there's no victory, there's no peace, there's no breakthroughs. It's just kind of casually going through the motions and just kind of just hitting and missing. I think I'll go to church today if I feel like it. Wake up and have a little bit of, you know, this and that, and the slightest little thing can keep us from serving God and loving the Lord and making a difference from God. Hey, listen, I'm not trying to preach to make you feel condemned. I'm just telling you this. The reason America's in the shape she's in is because we, the people of God, aren't doing what we ought to do. I'm talking about me too. Okay, hello. You get on fire for God, you see what happens in this community. You and I get on fire for God, and I guarantee you, this place right here will be filled up this morning and 11 o'clock service.